العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم ربي يسر وأعن وتمم بالخير يا فتاح. We continue بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى with the reading from the section of the section on fasting. And we will conclude the section on fasting بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى tomorrow. So the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he continues and he says, وَمَعْلُومٌ أَنَّ مَقْصُودَ الصَّوْمِ الْخَوَاءُ وَكَسْرُ الْهَوَاءُ لِتَقَوَّ النَّفْسُ عَلَى التَّقْوَى. What is the objective? What's the objective of fasting? So we know the ultimate objective of fasting, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran, is that we gain taqwa, we gain consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The objective of fasting that he is discussing here is what is the physical objective of fasting. And there's no reason that he's going to discuss the physical objective of fasting, except that it obviously has a connection, a correlation, a relationship to the ultimate objective of fasting, or the spiritual objective of fasting. In other words, that the physical objective of fasting paves the way to achieve the spiritual objective of fasting. So what is the physical objective of fasting? He says the physical objective of fasting is al-khawa'u wa kasru al-hawa. The physical objective of fasting is hunger, pains, and to break the hawa, the desire. Because through hunger, through the experience of hunger, and through the breaking of the hawa, of the desire, it opens the path for us to build taqwa. فَإِذَا دُفِعَتِ الْمَعِدَةُ ضَحْوَةَ النَّهَارِ إِلَى الْعِشَاءِ حَتَّى هَاجَتْ شَهْوَتُهَا وَقُوِيَتْ رَغْبَتُهَا ثُمَّ أُطْعِمَتْ مِنَ اللَّذَّاتِ وَأُشْبِعَتْ زَالَتْ لَذَّتُهَا وَتَضَاعَفْ قُوَتُهَا. So by us, by fasting being, it's obligatory upon us to abstain from food and drink from Fajr up until Maghrib. By doing so, fasting allows us the first step to achieve, or to open the door to achieve taqwa. However, we can undo that when it comes to Maghrib. So he says, فَإِذَا دُفِعَتِ الْمَعِدَةُ. If we are going to fill our stomachs with the breakfast that we missed and lunch that we missed alongside our supper at the time of Maghrib, what's happening? We are strengthening the nafs, because it becomes more enjoyable. If I have to wait for the meal and have everything prepared, so we're fasting, so we don't have breakfast, we don't have lunch, but I have my supper and more than my supper prepared for Maghrib. What you're doing is you are only strengthening the nafs, because it becomes more enjoyable. زَادَتْ لَذَّتُهَا وَتَضَاعَفَتْ قُوَّتُهَا. The nafs takes extra pleasure in postponing the meal a bit and then having everything and more at the time of iftar. So then we are, alhamdulillah, the obligation is met. We fulfilled the obligation of fasting, what was compulsory upon us. But did we increase spiritually? Did we benefit spiritually from our fast? We could potentially be undoing what the entire day of fast allowed us to commence with, meaning the path towards taqwa. So he says, فَرُوحُ الصَّوْمُ. The spirit of sawm, of fasting, وَسِرُّهُ, and the secret of sawm, is تَضْعِيفُ الْقُوَى الَّتِي هِيَ وَسَائِلُ الشَّيْطَانِ فِي الْقَوْدِ إِلَى الشُّرُورِ. When we eat, especially when we overeat, we allow the channels of shaitan to open up. if we overeat and we eat in excess and we very particular about what I want and what meal, and then we are allowing the pathways of shaitan to open up and for shaitan to lead us towards ila shurur, to all vices and to all evil. وَلَنْ يَحْصُلَ لَكَ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا بِالتَّقْلِيلِ. So we won't achieve the spirit of fasting, the secret of fasting, except through blocking these channels of shaitan. And we will not be able to block the channels of shaitan except بالتقليل, except with eating less. وَهُوَ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ أُكْلَتَهُ الَّتِي كَانَ يَأْكُلَهَا كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ لَوْ لَمْ يَسُمْ. And he's not being unreasonable at all. He says, so what should you do? You should eat your normal supper that you would have had if you were not fasting. And it's not unreasonable. He's not saying eat two dates and go pray Taraweeh. He's saying eat your supper that you would usually have had. If you have one plate, have one plate. What is discouraging is having more than what you would usually have, on account of waiting the entire day, so you spoil yourself, basically. فَأَمَّا إِذَا جَمَعَ مَا كَانَ يَأْكُلُ ضَحْوَةً إِلَى مَا كَانَ يَأْكُلُ لَيْلًا فَلَنْ يَنْتَفِعْ بِصَوْمِهِ. So if you are going to add to your supper, to your usual meal, your breakfast and your supper and your sweets and savories and all of these things, in addition to what you usually have, meaning you're going to overeat, فَلَنْ يَنْتَفِعْ بِصَوْمِهِ. His fasting will be of no benefit. Meaning, his fasting will be of no benefit spiritually. Of course, in terms of the obligation, we fulfill the obligation, and there's reward in that. We have to differentiate between these two things. That when an action is executed correctly, there's reward therein. There's reward therein for fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the action in and of itself holds a reward. When we've performed Fajr Salah, it's wajib upon us to perform Fajr Salah. So by performing Fajr Salah, we've relieved ourselves from that obligation. We are in the obedience of Allah. Secondly, Fajr Salah in and of itself has reward. So alhamdulillah, we've achieved that. That's not missed. But there's a spiritual dimension to our ibadah as well that allows us to grow. So when he's speaking about لَنْ يَنْتَفِعْ بِصَوْمِهِ, doesn't mean your fasting was null and void and your fasting was worthless. On a spiritual dimension, yes. بَلْ مِنَ الْأَدَبِ. The proper etiquette is أَلَّا يُكْثِرَ النَّوْمَ بِالنَّهَارِ حَتَّى يَحُسَّ بِالْجُوعِ وَالْعَطَشِ. The ideal situation is that you are not excessive in sleeping during the day, حَتَّى يَحُسَّ بِالْجُوعِ وَالْعَطَشِ, so that you may experience hunger and thirst. Sleeping during the day is not the issue. He's not saying sleeping during the day is an issue. What he's saying is, if you do not sleep, you can experience the hunger and thirst. And becoming comfortable with the experience of hunger and thirst, and going with that feeling for a long time, is the objective. وَيَسْتَشْعَلُ ضَعْفَ الْقُوَى. You will feel that the channels to shaitan slowly weakening. فَيَصْفُ عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ قَلْبُهُ. And his heart becomes pure through that. وَيَسْتَدِيمَ فِي لَيْلِهِ قَدْرًا مِنَ الضَّعْفِ حَتَّى يَخِفَّ عَلَيْهِ تَهَجُّدُهُ وَأُرَادُهُ. You will find that your tahajjud and your awrad, your adhkar and your ibadah becomes easier. It's very difficult to perform your ibadah, focus in terms of mentally as well as physically when if we overeat. So the opposite is also true. If we lessen our intake, then we have better strength for our ibadah. فَعَسَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَا يَحُومَ عَلَى قَلْبِهِ. So that shaitan doesn't form this barrier over our hearts. فَيَنْظُرَ إِلَى مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَاءِ وَلَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. So again, Laylatul Qadr, listen to what he's saying. Laylatul Qadr, عِبَارَةٌ عَنِ اللَّيْلَةِ الَّتِي يَنْكَشِفُ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْمَلَكُوتِ. Laylatul Qadr and all its virtues and everything that happens, he's highlighting one thing. That يَنْكَشِفُ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْمَلَكُوتِ. In the dominions of the heavens and the earth is something that opens up on the night of Laylatul Qadr. وَمَنْ جَعَلَ بَيْنَ قَلْبِهِ وَبَيْنَ صَدْرِهِ مِخْلَاتًا مِنَ الطَّعَامِ. But whoever is going to allow a covering over his heart, and that covering is done through excessive eating, مِخْلَاتًا مِنَ الطَّعَامِ, of food, فَهُوَ عَنْ مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَاءِ مَحْجُوبٌ. Then whatever is happening on that night, you are veiled from that. Again, your dua on that night could still be accepted, your ibadah on that night will still be accepted. What he's speaking about here are spiritual experiences that we should seek. But through excessive eating, he says, you will be mahjoob, you will be completely veiled from everything that happens on that night. وَمَنْ أَخْلَى مَعِدَتَهُ. But whoever leaves his stomach empty, فَلَا يَكْفِيهِ ذَلِكَ لِرَفْعِ الْحِجَابِ. So, someone says, okay, I'm going to eat less. I'm going to have my supper. I'm not going to increase beyond that. He says, okay, so you've achieved the first goal. لَا يَكْفِي ذَلِكَ لِرَفْعَ الْحِجَابِ. Just by doing that, you are not lifting the veil from your heart. You've only achieved the first goal. The second goal is what? مَا لَمْ تَخْلُ هِمَّتُهُ مِنْ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. After having achieved the first goal, which is lessening our intake and how much we consume, then you have to ensure that your complete focus and interest is directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَلِكَ هُوَ الْأَمْرُ كُلُّهُ. That is the entire matter. وَمَبْدَأُ ذَلِكَ تَقْلِيلُ الطَّعَامِ. And the starting point for that is lessening our food, our intake. وَسَيَأْتِي مَزِلَهُ. نعم. So then he mentions the last point, but we will conclude on the last point tomorrow, bismillah tabarak ta'ala, which should also bring us to the end of the chapter entirely, which is nice because it's the last Sunday in the month of Ramadan. But we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to these acts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to perform these acts. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to experience the spiritual dimensions of these acts as well. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت ولي ومولاها يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.